Good morning, fellow students, and welcome back to Legacy Weapon, your guide to the Legacy format. I am Jamie.
And I am Drew.
We are here today to do the first of something we've been talking about for a while, a deck tech. We've gone in the shallow end enough, we're giving you a taste of the deep end.
You have to swim a little bit. It's going to be some doggy paddling, maybe.
Yeah. So now that we've got some of the staple cards, so we won't have to talk about those all individually as we're going through a deck, we wanted to give you a deck to have an idea of exactly what one looks like, how to play it. We're going to try to go relatively in-depth on this one so that you can really feel like you understand it. If it sounds like a deck you'd like, then maybe you'll want to start testing with it. If it sounds like a deck you'd hate,
maybe you want to start testing with it.
No.
Testing against it anyway.
Yeah, at the very least, the best way to beat a deck is to know it.
Yeah.
If you don't know what's in your opponent's deck, you're at a huge disadvantage. If you don't know what's important to them, what they care about, what they're able to do, what they're going to think they have against you, all that's really, really useful.
Yeah.
So, as we say, preparation's pretty important around here.
Best legacy weapon, some might say.
Yeah. You could say that this is the first in a series. Could we say that this is our third series of deck techs? Or is that just kind of a feature?
We could say lots of things. I'm not sure what you mean by that, so I'm sure our listeners will be very confused.
No. Like, you know, we've got our series of our budgets. We've got a series
Okay. You said series of deck techs. You mean series of series.
Well, we lack all creativity here. So really, we only can come up with topics if it's part of a series.
Right. Right.
You'll notice I occasionally mention that I have a daughter, talk about her as my daughter. That's because that's just her name. I couldn't think of a better one. My daughter, Keller. It works.
Yes. There you go.
The first deck is...
Miracles.
We have talked about it a lot. It was not the winner at the last GP, but it was very present. One of the most played decks and most winning decks on day two.
Yep.
It had two copies in the top eight.
And that's not out of the ordinary. This has been... Actually, I don't think it did have two copies in the top eight.
Yeah, it did. Shardless and this. Weren't those the two?
No, Delver was the other one.
Oh, okay. It had one in the top eight.
Right.
Sorry.
Anyway, it was in the top eight. It was actually in the top four. And it's been a mainstay in top eights for a long time. This is...
Yeah.
I think almost everybody would agree that this is the best deck in Legacy. Has been for a while. So it's definitely something that you need to know.
Yeah, even if you don't think it's the best, it is one of the decks to beat.
Right.
And it's never really left the category of one of the decks to beat in the last at least 2 years.
Yeah.
Let's dig in. As we said, we've alluded to it as the number one control deck in the format, the most stereotypical what you think of when you think of a control deck, you know, counter spells,
right.
Removal, stuff like that. And so we thought it was a good place to start, kind of a little anchor for people to see something that they maybe will recognize, because even though it doesn't play like a standard control deck, it's still kind of the same idea.
So
let's dig into the deck itself. It is a white and blue deck, usually. Not always, but often splashing red. And really, those are the colors. And white and blue are the things it relies on.
Right.
You might notice, as one of the top decks in the format, it wants to play blue.
Yes.
Surprise.
Surprise.
So why is it called Miracles? And what kind of makes the deck run?
Right. So it's called Miracles because it has a couple of cards with the Miracle mechanic from Avacyn Restored, which says...
What's the Miracle mechanic?
Right.
That sounds magical.
It does sound magical. It is kind of magical. These are instants and sorceries, and they say when you may play this card for its miracle cost when you draw it, if it is the first card you have drawn this turn.
That's a lot of words.
Right.
But
so the miracle cost is usually something that's much less than the printed casting cost of the spells. If you can cast this for a miracle cost, you're getting usually a huge discount on a powerful effect.
Let's talk about the miracle cards first, then. We'll talk about kind of how they are used, but as we're going through, we'll say, give people an idea of what it is.
Right.
So the first one, the one that I think of the most is Terminus.
Yeah.
Because it's the one I hate to see on the board. Terminus, it's known as a Wrath because it's similar to Wrath of God. It is a card that puts all creatures on the bottom of their owner's libraries.
Right.
This is the same as destroying all creatures, except...
Usually better.
Because, you know, sometimes you can regenerate or indestructible or you can turn things from your graveyard.
Right.
It's really hard to get them from the bottom of your library.
Right. From a card advantage standpoint, it doesn't really help you to have the cards on the bottom of your library. They might as well be in your graveyard or in exile.
The cost is six, which...
is a lot.
It's very expensive. No, yeah, that's very expensive. Wraths of various types usually cost 4 or 5.
Right.
This has a miracle cost. And what do you think would be fair? Like, you know, you got to jump through a hoop. You have to hope you draw it at the right time. What sounds like a fair cost for that?
I don't know, but the actual cost is 1 white mana.
Oh, okay. So maybe 1's ridiculously unfair and too low if it's the most popular deck in Legacy.
Right. That's kind of one of the major abusable things of this deck is that, yeah, you get to sweep the board for 1 mana.
That's a 4 of. It holds the deck together.
Pretty much every Miracles deck is running 4 Terminus, yes.
Yeah. It's a sorcery, but if you draw it at instant speed, say on your opponent's turn, you still get to cast it whenever it's drawn.
Right. That is the thing about the Miracles mechanic. It ignores casting time requirements like sorcery speed. You can do it whenever you draw it, whenever that is, which does include your opponent's upkeep, your opponent's combat step, terrible things like that. So
the other one that gets played is Entreat the Angels.
Right. So this is another sorcery. It costs 3 white and 2 times X.
XX, white, white, white.
Right. And it puts X 4/4 flying angel creature tokens onto the battlefield under your control.
Sounds good for Commander, but that's, you know, you got to put like 20 mana into it.
Right.
Or
you could pay it for the miracle cost, which is 2 white and 1 times X.
So X white white, which does the same thing. X 4/4 white angel creatures. This is a lot of X's running around, but basically this is just a very cost effective way of getting multiple flying creatures into play.
Right.
And if you're wiping your opponent's board and countering what they're doing, a mainstay in control decks is just having a few threats that are hard to answer.
Right. A small number of cards that are actually win conditions, and everything else is just meant to slow your opponent down or otherwise get card advantage.
Right. And then protect them. Because I will say, these are not creatures that have special abilities or anything except for flying. You know, you can kill them, but this is 3 mana for a 4/4 flyer. Or, more likely, 4 mana for 2, or 5 mana for 3.
Right, so yeah, 5 mana for 3 tends to be frequently the rate, and they'll do this on your end step, and then 2 turns later,
attack for
you're
12.
Dead. Yeah. Frequently, decks only run one of these, because the Miracles deck is very good. A little bit of foreshadowing here. Is very good. Very good. Better than maybe any deck in the history of Magic at manipulating its deck and finding stuff that it wants to find.
When you're with me, you only need one angel.
So, you only need one of this super powerful win condition because you're very good at getting through your deck to find it.
Let's move on to that part. What do they do to manipulate the top of their library?
I want to talk about one other card first that doesn't actually have the Miracles mechanic printed on it, but it has a sort of similar effect. And that's Counterbalance. It's a blue enchantment for 2 blue mana. And that says, whenever an opponent plays a spell, you may reveal the top card of your library. And then if the revealed card has the same converted mana cost as the spell, counter the spell.
So if you think about that, you know, you slap it down, it doesn't do anything at first, and then it's a coin toss every time. If you happen to be playing to something and you happen to have something on top, it seems kind of fair if you were in Standard, where people are playing 1s and 2s and 3s and 4s and 6s.
Right. It's worse than a coin toss. It's more like a die roll. And
yeah.
Yeah.
The two things. One, in Legacy, there's a lot of 1 and 2 and 3 cost cards.
And 0 cost things.
And 0 cost cards, which lands count as 0. This is not going to counter a land. But if your opponent tries to play a 0 mana spell and you reveal a land,
you'll count
their
it.
Spell gets countered.
Yeah.
So first of all, there's just a more lumping together of casting costs, so you're more likely to hit what they're casting. The other thing is manipulate up your library, maybe at instant speed, after you know what they're playing and after you know what you need to be on top.
Because this is a triggered ability that triggers whenever your opponent plays a spell, and you can respond to the trigger to manipulate the top cards of your library before the counterbalance trigger resolves and you reveal the card. So you respond to the trigger, put the card you want to have there, then let the trigger resolve, and then you get to counter the spell.
That is a 4 of in every single deck.
Yes.
And that is probably more than anything else the way that what makes the deck work. That and Terminus, I'd say, are the two real things. It lets you counter almost anything your opponent does, and lets you kill anything that they got out.
Right. And that's sort of the theme of this deck, is using these powerful effects that aren't very good unless you can manipulate the card that is on top of your library so that you can either counter the spell or cast your own spells for their miracle cost.
I just don't know how you would control the top of your library.
Well,
I can't think of any cards that would do that.
Well, so we have a few. First couple, these are cards we've talked about. There's Brainstorm, which of course lets you you draw 3 cards and you put 2 cards down from your hand, which means you can, even if you get to look at the top 3 cards of your library, but then you also get to look at all the cards in your hand. And if any of those is, say, a Terminus, then you can make the next card you draw say, on your draw step, end of turn brainstorm, then on your own draw step, you set up a terminus, or brainstorm in response to a counterbalance trigger to put a land, say, from your hand on top of your library in response to a Lotus Petal being cast.
Yeah.
And brainstorm is a really good card that you want to be playing anyway.
Right. And the downside to Miracle cards is if you have them in your opening hand, they're right. overcosted and bad. If you draw them and you're not ready to play them yet, then they're overcosted and bad.
Right.
If you can then put them back on top...
You can cast them when you want to, or if you have multiple copies, you can just shuffle them away with the fetch lands that you're obviously playing because this is Legacy.
Right. One thing to note, if you ever do something like Brainstorm and you put something on top, be careful not to fetch land if you want that thing to stay on top.
That is the thing about this deck that's hard to play about it, is that sometimes you will accidentally crack your fetch land and then realize, oops.
Oops, I put something on top on purpose.
There goes my Terminus that I really needed next turn.
This is one of the hardest decks to play in Legacy, yeah. actually. Just because of all the options it gives you.
Right.
And those options won't give you power. Options give you power. That's right. A through line through all of Magic. This also makes for very slow games, especially for newer players, because there's so many options. Trying to figure the right answers hard.
Yeah, one of the reasons that this deck is kind of hated, one is just because it's so good and it's just... It seems like it's everywhere, but the other one is because this deck does tend to lead to very grindy games, and some people don't like that. I kind of think they're fun, and a lot of times it's sort of like a chess match, but if that's not your bag, then yeah, you may be in for a long day when the person across from you is playing this.
Right. So we've got Brainstorm, which is instant speed, so that works perfectly right. with counterbalance, and also works well with, say, if you want to set something up to happen.
Right.
And you want to set it up on your opponent's turn, or if you've set it up
also,
on your turn.
You can also use it to trigger an instant speed draw if you know it's on top of your library.
Exactly. So do remember, show what the first card is if you want to. Make sure it's easily seen. If you play Brainstorm on your opponent's turn, you draw three cards. If the second or third is a miracle, you don't get the miracle
right.
cost. Only that first one.
Right.
So go slow.
Right.
How else do they manipulate the top of their library?
Well, the other one we have is Ponder, and this isn't nearly as good as Brainstorm, but it's still a good card in Legacy, and it does let you will know what the next two cards that you will draw are, which it's not as powerful as Brainstorm, but it's still a pretty good tool to do with this. It also lets you shuffle away any excess miracle cards that you may want to get rid of right now.
Right.
And it's just a generally good card anyway, since it gives you more velocity, more selection, all that stuff.
Right. And as we said, both of these work really well with fetch lands, just right. that if you look and you see some stuff that you don't want, well, put the good stuff in your hand, put the bad stuff back in the library, and then fetch at the right time to get rid of that stuff.
And part of what's so good about this deck is that it sort of combos, as it were, with cards that are just already really powerful that everyone wants to play.
Yeah, like the most played card of Brainstorm, or Ponder, the 10th most
five.
Played card.
Yeah. But then there are a couple other cards that see much more play in this deck than they do in others.
Yeah.
Maybe the signature card of this whole deck, the one people really love to hate, is Sensei's Divining Top.
Yeah, I hate this card.
So this is it's a one mana artifact with two very powerful activated abilities.
And like a lot of things in Legacy, it doesn't look nearly as good as it is. It's better than it looks.
Oh, man. It's banned in Modern. This is another one of those mistake cards that Wizards printed and then kind of went, oops. So the two abilities, the first one, you pay one mana, look at the top three cards of your library, put them back in any order. That's it.
That's fine. There are cards that, spells that do that, and they're unplayable. They're just terrible, because you're still going to draw those cards, just
right.
maybe in a different order.
Right. I mean, Ponder kind of does that and then just draws you a card, but so this just doesn't draw you the card.
Right.
But it's great here, because you can now put that miracle where it needs to be.
Exactly. You get to dig deeper in your library, so... If you don't like the top, well, you can do this every turn. So even if you didn't have any draw or any of the good stuff that you want and you just were relying on this, well, it effectively gets the two junkiest cards and just keeps pushing them down to
right.
help you dig just a little faster.
And then until you get to a fetch land, and then you can just get rid of them.
Yeah. So the second ability.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Tap it. You draw a card, then put Sensei's Divining Top on top of your library. Again, it seems really innocuous, right? Because it just, I mean, you draw a card, but then you just have to draw the top again. So you're not getting any card, you're getting temporary card advantage, but you're about to lose it again.
Right, and you've played a card to draw a card. So it's still just a one for one. You wouldn't play one mana, draw one card, if that's all it did. You wouldn't do that.
Right.
So now we said why it kind of looks just dumb and dunky, and it does two not very valuable things. Now let's talk about why it's actually amazing and why it is, oh gosh, so strong.
The main thing is that this is a super powerful combo with counterbalance.
Yes, because now, in addition to if you happen to have a brainstorm, you always can instant speed, look at the top three for one mana, and rearrange them. If you happen to know what your opponent's playing, and you know that, say, they have one mana spells that are important, you can purposefully just keep a one mana spell, say, second for the top, just to slap it on the very top, if needed.
Or, well, the other thing you can do is that top is a one mana spell. So you always have the option to just put top on top of your library to counter any one drop they play.
Right. So say that you've got counterbalance and you've got the top, which countertop is an entire deck type that basically has been subsumed into miracles because the miracle shell is just better than any other countertop variant.
Right. Top and counterbalance were around before Avacyn Restored, and that was a deck, but then just the miracles cards came along and made this into a
so much better
monster.
So if you've got those two in play, your opponent will never, if you're careful, successfully play a one mana spell again.
Right.
Because you always, even if the top of the deck isn't one mana, you can make it by tapping the Divining Top for no mana. Right. If somebody tries to kill your Divining Top with a Shatter, well, just tap it in response and put it on top of your library.
Right. Makes top really hard to get rid of.
It's really hard to get rid of. There is a worse version of Naturalize because it costs three.
Yeah.
And it gets played in Legacy because it doesn't let you respond to it.
Yeah.
So it gets played.
Just because people hate top and want to get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and as much as I start off saying how it sounds dumpy, because it does, this is the worst card to see your opponent play turn one if they're playing Miracles. This is the card that they will mulligan to try to get one of, because it fixes their mana, fixes their draws, fixes their Miracles.
And is half of a combo that will lock you out of the game.
It's just so bad. Most decks are going to have a sideboard card, particularly to try to deal with this.
All right, one more card that helps you do top deck manipulation. This is Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Ooh, the big boy.
Kind of a famous card.
Debatably the, quote, best planeswalker ever.
Yeah, I think that debate is over. Jace won that debate.
Still depends slightly on the format.
I mean, depends. But, well,
yes.
He's the only one banned in Modern, so...
True.
Jace has four abilities. So he costs two blue mana and two colorless. Comes in with three loyalty counters. He has four abilities, which is part of maybe the reason that he was a mistake. If he had any three of these, he might be not so terrible, but all of these are good abilities, and they're all pretty useful all the time. So the first one is a plus two, and it lets you look at the top card of target player's library, and then you can either leave it there or put it on the bottom. So it's on yourself, it's basically scry one, but usually you use this on your opponent so you can make sure that they don't draw anything particularly useful, while you also get to tick Jace up at a pretty fast rate.
One of the soul-crushing things is if your opponent has him in play, they look at the top of your library, they look at you, they look at it, and then they just say, eh, you can keep that one.
Because you know you're going to draw something useless next turn.
I know. His second one, which is a zero costing ability, so it doesn't go up or down, but you can just do it forever.
Yep.
Brainstorm?
It's Brainstorm. It's exactly Brainstorm.
For free. Yep. Every turn.
Yep. This just buries you in card advantage, and it's just,
so powerful. Card selection, and yeah, it's everything about Brainstorm, but every turn.
With fetch lands, combos with all of the various miracle effects that you might want to be doing, it's nasty.
The only thing to note, you can't do it on your opponent's turn. It's not an instant speed.
It's not an instant because it's a planeswalker ability.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's still bonkers.
He's got a minus one, so he can do it immediately. Turn one, he comes out into play and still stick around to bounce a creature to its owner's hand.
Right.
This one isn't played a whole lot. Usually this is used as a way to lock your opponent out and to just gain ridiculous amounts of card advantage, because usually you can just Terminus and kill all their creatures.
But sometimes you've got counterbalance in play and maybe counter top lock, but there's a creature that's beating you down.
And that creature would start attacking Jace and just kill the Jace. Now you can't. Right. Oh, and you can't replay him successfully because of the countertop lock.
Yeah.
And then he has an ultimate, which is silly, so
it's
don't worry
about
it.
It's minus 12, and it basically reads win the game.
Basically, don't worry about it.
But it actually, I mean, right, don't worry about what it says.
It happens. It will happen to you eventually.
Right.
But if you get to that point in the game, I know somebody who has won after that ultimate. Good luck. Don't worry about it.
It's right. But the point is, though, that Jace can plus two himself up from 3 to 12 without that much difficulty because he locks you out so hard while he's doing it. This is one of the reasons that Entreat the Angels is often just a one of in these decks, because Jace also represents a pretty solid win condition.
Right.
Okay. That's the core of the deck, really. Right. The cards that care about the top of your deck, and then the cards that help you manipulate the top of your deck.
We've got a deck that never has mana problems, either too much or too little, that always just digs through their deck, and that can slap huge creatures, big planeswalkers,
right,
or Wrath of Gods at instant speed.
Right. So the rest of this deck is just sort of generic control elements and a couple more win conditions. We've got some counter spells. I'm sure it will surprise no one to learn that Force of Will is pretty much always a four of in this deck. It also plays Counterspell, which we talked about being mostly a powerful spell that sees play mostly in slower decks. This is one of those slower decks that can totally afford to pay two mana to counter a spell. There's some removal. Swords of Plowshares. We'll talk about that more in the next Staples episode. It's a one white mana removal spell. It's probably the best just pure removal spell maybe ever printed.
Right.
Council's Judgment, which is a three mana sorcery, which is three mana and a sorcery, but it's real good at removing stuff.
Yeah, it removes literally anything.
Not lands, but anything else.
True. It removes literally any non-land permanent, even ones that have protection from white, or protection from enchantments, or hexproof, sorceries, or hexproof.
Yeah.
Anything. So it gets rid of problems. It's only a one of, because it's honestly rare that there's something you need it for that you can't get rid of other ways.
Right, or just counter before they get it there. But it's also a three mana spell. There are almost no three mana spells in this deck, and sometimes you just want a three mana spell to stick on top of your deck for counterbalance.
Yeah.
I think that's also a reason this is in here.
True. So that's the spells in the main deck.
I also want to throw in, we got usually there's some Snapcaster Mages, because we have all of these cool spells to cast with those.
And Snapcaster Mage is a creature, basically just counts as another spell, and right, counts as whichever spell you want it to be.
Combos with having good instants and sorceries, which this deck does.
I don't think we said it. We're talking specifically about one list. We'll try to talk as we do deck techs about kind of what gets played in general, but it's useful to have a specific list to be talking about. We'll link to the list in the show notes.
Yeah.
This is the list that Brian DeMars, I think I'm pronouncing it right, played at the recent GP.
Took to a top four finish.
Exactly. So a good, current, and effective list.
Right. Every card we've mentioned, though, I think is played in almost literally, maybe literally, every single Miracles list that's out there. So
probably.
So far, I don't think we've said anything that's specific to Brian's list.
Close enough. Some people don't play all these. Like I think some don't play Entreat the Angels. They pick something else.
Some don't have Council's Judgment. Yeah, but these enough. All of these cards are in the vast bulk of decks.
Now a new addition is he has it as a two of another win condition.
Yeah,
and that is Monastery Mentor. This is a three mana, 2/2 with prowess. So fine draft fodder. Except that every time you play an instant or sorcery or any non-creature spell,
like Sensei's Defining Top,
yes, you get a 1/1 monk token that also has prowess. So usually the second Divining Top that you draw is useless. It's just backup for in case they somehow kill the first one. But
this guy plus two Sensei's Divining Tops turns into one mana, get a 1/1 creature token with prowess.
And boost everybody, because tap the first top, put it on top of your library. Tap the second top,
draw, put it on top of your library. Yeah.
And now recast that one for one mana. And then you can just cycle those two into each other over and over and over again.
Right.
Even with just one, though, it's a good way to
It gives you a spell to play every turn, which means you can just block for days, almost, you know, no matter how large an attacker.
True, I keep telling you, you can't block with days. It's not a creature.
You can if you have Monastery Mentor, because it turns into a creature. You get a creature when you cast it.
Pipe dreams, man.
Pipe dreams. But this is also a win condition, because it just sometimes you get three or four of these guys, you cast a couple of spells, now they're real big, and you just kill somebody.
There are a lot of spells. A lot of draw spells. A lot of spells that draw you more spells. It's good. But before we get on to the mana base, I did want to talk about our sponsor. As you all know, we are always here on GatheringMagic.com, a very fun website that has been getting recently more Eternal content. There's us with Legacy. There's also Vintage articles that are going up, which I'll link to one of those, because I've actually really enjoyed reading that a little bit.
Vintage is cool.
It's, it's neat to see what might happen if there wasn't the ban list. makes me glad I'm in Legacy, but it's really neat to see.
Yeah.
And they are sponsored themselves by CoolStuffInc.com, a great website for purchasing your magic paraphernalia and cards and sealed product. Great way to be loyal, great way to build up equity there, and fulfill all your needs with good shipping and everything, too. But we do have a sponsor specifically for this episode, and you might remember we were sponsored by a musical group last time. That was just really effective. It really went over well with the testing groups. So this time we're sponsored by the band Journey. The band Journey has decided they're going to throw Journey Fest 2016, at which they're going to have all of the big Journey cover bands. Journey to Nowhere, Journey of Discovery, Journeyer's Kite. I think that's a hippie band. I don't know. They're going to play all the biggest hits. They're going to be playing that one Journey song that everybody knows, and that one Journey song that everybody knows, the remix. We actually have a sample here, which I was told to do my best with, so bear with me. Just a little girl, living in a storm world. She bought a midnight charm, going anywhere. A zombie fanboy. Born and raised by wolves in Detroit. He took a midnight train on a journey to nowhere. He sees her in a smoke-filled room. Blessed wine and cheap perfume. Alicia smiles at death. She goes on and on and on and on. Strange inversion. Happening on the boulevard, foreshadow a bump in the night, if you know what I mean. Glaring spotlights, people living just to find emotion, hiding somewhere is spirit of the night. Take it away, Drew!
I don't have the lyrics.
Guitar solo.
Oh.
That's all they gave us. You have to show up for the rest.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on.
We have a very kind of standard what you'd expect a mana base. We've got islands and plains. Basic lands, as we said. Important right. to be able to fetch those. And we also have Scalding Tarns, the red-blue fetch. We yep. have Flooded Strands, the white-blue fetch.
Yep.
Arid Mesa, the red-white fetch, just yep. to be able to get whatever you want. The ways that this one, at least, is making red is...
Volcanic Islands.
Volcanic Islands, yeah. Because blue, as you might have noticed, is the base. White right. is a very heavy splash.
The red is entirely sideboard cards. Actually, if you've been paying attention, we didn't mention any red cards so far.
Yeah. So tundras, plains, and islands are the real mana base.
Yeah.
With a couple volcanic islands just for red.
Right. One note here is on how low the land count here is. Brian DeMar's list only has 21 lands. That's pretty standard. Most of these lists are in the 21-22 range for lands, which is, if you've played Control in Modern or Standard, you're used to playing somewhere in the range of 24 to 26, even 27, sometimes 28 lands in a Control deck. This is a hard Control deck that has 21 lands.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, I mean, 21 lands, that might be normal for a lot of decks. But right. you'd expect more control, except that this thing controls by brainstorm, ponder, top all the time. So
right.
they're probably not going to have mana problems. Right. If they get their first land and one of their filter cards, they're probably going to be fine. It'll just snowball from there.
Right. This just gives you more spell density to continue having answers all the time rather than drawing more lands.
Yeah.
While you can still hit all of your land drops.
Yeah. We're going to go into the sideboard and we want to go into the strategy, but we had tried to do deck techs and kind of do them justice. And we found that there's just too much. Like, you know, how long have we been talking right now? And we haven't even gotten to the sideboard or how to play the deck. So these are going to be two-part episodes. We're going to do this probably with every deck tech. So though we have made it a hard and fast rule to never promise what the next episode will be, because that's burned us in the past.
We promise the next episode will be part two of Miracles.
Yes. So that will come. Just be looking forward to that. Oh, and before we go, you forgot to do a banned card of the day.
I did not forget.
Oh, you were waiting for... You've been talking the whole time. You had whatever opening you wanted.
Well, we had such a good flow going. I didn't want to interrupt. So the banned card of the day would be probably the card that this deck most wishes it could play, which is Ancestral Recall.
Mm.
And we'll do a twofer, and we'll lump in the second most recent banning, which is Treasure Cruise, because they do largely the same thing. Ancestral
good
Recall.
Good to do at the same time. That's good.
Yeah. Ancestral Recall, you may know, is one blue, instant speed, draw three cards. Or, well, target player draws three cards, because you can make your opponent draw three cards, I guess.
That's just to make people who play Vintage on Magic Online accidentally lose the game by right. targeting their opponent.
And Treasure Cruise doesn't target. It's a sorcery. Costs 8, draws 3 cards, but it has Delve.
So it basically costs 1.
It basically
because
costs 1.
Yeah, you might notice there are a lot of cheap spells and ways to just throw stuff in your graveyard here, even more than normal. We talked about Dig Through Time. Well,
yeah,
it's kind of like that, except this one only has 1 blue in the casting cost, so it only ever costs 1.
Right. It's super broken. Lots of card advantage. Card advantage is the best thing ever for control decks. Treasure Cruise was in almost literally everything, which is why it got banned, although it was in here too, because it's just crazy. So, yeah, drawing cards is really powerful. Drawing cards for 1 blue mana is... Drawing 3 cards for 1 blue mana is an unacceptably good rate. It breaks Legacy when you're allowed to do it.
And Instant Speed.
Instant Speed is also super bonkers. Treasure Cruise is a sorcery. It was still broken.
Here's the interesting thing. I want to ask you this.
Mm.
If you told Miracles players that they could have 4 of Ancestral Recall or Brainstorm, but not the other,
ooh,
what would they pick?
Oh, the answer is Ancestral Recall.
Are you sure? Because
yes.
You can't set up your Miracles.
That card is so broken. It doesn't matter. You're going to win anyway.
You think?
Yes.
All right.
If I could play 4 Ancestral Recall, I mean, I don't even care what's in the rest of my deck.
All right, okay, that's fair. No, you're right.
I mean, I might not play Terminus anymore, but win anyway.
Okay, but that'd be a different deck then. You're just saying it's a better card. Of course it's a better card.
It's better. Well, right, obviously, but...
Not being able to set up your counterbalances, not being able to set up your... You know, that's important.
It matters, but I'm pretty sure just drawing 3 extra cards all the time, you're going to find your Sensei's Divining Tops and you'll be okay.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Daring position by Drew.
Ancestral Recall might be a better card than Brainstorm.
Maybe. Not even maybe. Almost probably.
Almost probably.
All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for today. Yep. We will come back the next episode and finish this up. But until then, you can reach me at jamie7keller at gmail and on Twitter.
And I am at mtgwalton@gmail.com.
Until next time, remember, Sensei's Divining Top is probably the best Legacy weapon. Bye. And until next time, just remember,
you can reach the show.
Oh, I guess. Do we really need to do all these every time? People know.
People probably know.
People know.
All right. I remember it this time, though.
LegacyWeaponPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Hit us up for all your questions, comments.
So we can do a mailbag. The more of these you...
Spicy recipes for jalapeno dip. We need those.
Right.
Because reasons.
Reasons.